Jason Wilde, all Packers all the time, because he's three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year. He is on the Jason Wilde Yingling Hotline. This is the Brian Bulaga, Jason Wilde segment. And while Aaron Rodgers said, Homer, you're not a very good listener, I am for this segment. Take it away, soccer expert Brian Bulaga.
Jason, good evening. How are you?
Well, better than the Miz was today for Uncle Homer.
Yeah.
Homer's bad fielding behind him. ERA, 5 innings, 1 earned run, 10 strikeouts. His ERA is still 1.47. But, yes, he gave up 2 home runs. That's also, to be honest, not good. Take it away. Sorry to interrupt.
No, it's all right. It's all right. So, Jason,
listener, though.
I get we're in, like, the dead period now of the Packers. So, like, I was on my little wagering app, and I'm just looking through all the teams' win-loss totals and things like that. And I'm not, you know, that's all speculative right now. And I think the Packers are at 9.5 or whatever. I don't even know. I think it was at 9.5. But in your opinion, what at this point, right? And say you get Micah back at week 7 or 8, right? What, in your opinion, is a good season for the Green Bay Packers? What is acceptable? What is a good season in Green Bay? What does that look like?
Good question. So, as I often do, much to the chagrin of your good friend Mark Tauscher and your mentor, who meant so much to you as you grew into the player that you became, I'm going to answer your question first with a question, which is this. When you think about this team, what do you expect from them? Because, and it pains me to say that Alex Stroh is smart, but he was when we did our State of the Packers, because he went a little bit too far. But he said, I mean, I don't know what to expect of this team. I could see they could go 6-11, which I didn't agree with, and they could go to the Super Bowl. I just don't have a great feel for what I should expect. Like, my gut tells me that they will be in a dogfight, even with all the issues that the Lions have had, obviously, with their personnel and some situations that have come up. They'll be in a dogfight to the end of the year on winning the division. Maybe they win it, maybe they don't, but I expect them to make the playoffs, barring catastrophic injuries that are even worse than last year's. I expect them, if they play at home, to win a playoff game and reach a divisional round game. And that's a crapshoot, right? You never know. Playoff, it's any given Sunday or whatever day they're playing. But, like, I can see them playing in the NFC Championship game. I can also see them finishing 8-9 if they have some things go against
really?
Them.
Really? 8-9?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Because I don't – because I think they've got some star players. That, and some of them will be back right away and others not as soon. I think I like their skill position guys, even though Bill Barnwell doesn't see them as anything more than a middling group. But I can also see how their corners, their pass rush, and their offensive line could be their undoing. So I don't know what to expect. I know what would be disappointing, but like a successful season to me, they got to win a playoff game. I don't care if they win the division or not. I know Tausch is big on winning the division. But they got to win a playoff game. And then, obviously, if you're a Packers fan, ideally, they win another one. And they make an NFC Championship game appearance. I took some heat for saying that I think that they are set up to be a true Super Bowl team. And I'm not saying they can't make it this year. Right? Like, 95, the Packers arrived early. I know, Brian, you were just a wee one at the time.
Yes.
But that was the year before I started covering the team. And they go out to San Francisco in a divisional round game, and they go and they beat the defending Super Bowl champs at their place. And they kind of announce their presence with authority. And then they actually have a lead in Dallas in the NFC Championship game, but they ultimately lose. And I could see this team kind of having that kind of breakthrough but not quite get there. But I keep looking at you traded for Micah. Jordan, it's this year and next year, and then his cap number goes through the roof. So they need him to elevate to the entire plan that he's yet to reach. They've got they're going to have all their best players tied up long term in contracts, and Micah Parsons will be healthy theoretically for the entire season. So I'm looking at them, and they got like 12 draft picks. So I look at 2027 as kind of their year, and if they arrive early in 2026, great. But you got to take steps forward. I know the NFL is different than when I started covering them, but like I feel like there's still something of a progression for teams. And yes, sometimes you can skip steps, like New England did this year, for example. But the bottom line is you know, after back-to-back years where they lost first-round playoff games on the road, after three consecutive years where they were the number seven seed, I would like to see them win the division, win a playoff game, and that constitutes progress. And if I was a Packers fan, that would make me happy but not satisfied.
So I guess my question then off of that is, if they're a seven seed and win a playoff game, that's successful.
Yeah. I mean, you played on a team that was a six seed, right, and went and won the Super Bowl. And you played on number one seeds that didn't get there. I mean, it's, you know, to me, yeah, obviously I care about the journey and I love chronicling it. But at the end of the day, like, what do you do, you know, what did Rodgers used to say? You earn your paycheck during the regular season and you write your legacy during the postseason. He's right. Like, yeah, you make all your money and you guys should. And especially since, you know, you got to make sure you have your health care covered later in life. And then in the playoffs is when you become legends. And all those guys, including you, as the youngest player ever to start a Super Bowl, get to say, hey, we are legends, legends of the fall. And since then, we're 16 years and counting, since the Packers did it. And I don't think this is the year, but I will not be flabbergasted if somehow they find a way like the 2010 team did.
Now, do you think that if there's going to be one, I guess I look at it too, I mean, because there's, like you said, some of the positions that could be the trap for the team, right? A couple of the downfalls. Mm-hmm. If you had to pick out one, and we could say offensive line because that's what I like to talk about, but what position group do you think is going to be potentially the biggest struggle bus of the season?
So I think there's a couple of ones, obviously, and I think they're probably the same ones you're thinking of. First of all, I know I sound like Encanto, which is one of my favorite Disney films. We don't talk about Keyshawn, no, because I've talked about him enough. But I don't think that's the strength of their team. Now, I don't know what Brandon Cisse is going to be. I don't know what Benjamin St. Juice is going to be. But on paper, Keyshawn's got something to prove in a contract year, and Carrington Valentine has something to prove in a contract year. So we'll see what that position is. But that doesn't feel like – I mean, remember, I covered a team with Al Harris and Charles Woodson at corner. Like, I've seen what happened. And then I covered Tremont Williams, who went from unwanted to being a – all pro and top five corner in the league. So they don't have a guy like that. We've talked so much with you because of your expertise about their offensive line. And what bothers me, and I went through this with Homer earlier in the week, and he tried to interrupt me and say there's no questions about Zach Tom, but there is obviously because of the injuries coming off of.
There's no question about Zach Tom. Thank you.
Brian, tell him.
Well, there is a question, and that's how he's going to recover from his knee.
Yeah.
He's
a good player.
No, we're just questioning how long it takes for him to get back to being the best offensive lineman.
Well, that's a question.
Yeah.
Okay. Not a very big question.
It's because he's had two seasons in a row now where he's been – a little hobbled, mm-hmm. right? Like, and obviously right. last year, the patella deal, and I know what he said what he had done to it, at least what I remember talking to you, Jason, that he had part of the patella just removed, not repaired. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I don't know anything about the patella. I've never injured it. So I have no idea.
Lucky you.
Yeah. No, they just used part of my patella for both my ACLs. That's the only difference.
See, that's the whole idea, though, right? Like, if they're able to take some of your patellar tendon to fix your ACL, then obviously the patellar tendon regenerates itself, and that was the thought process. But you're right. When he told me that, I'm not going to be melodramatic and say I almost fell to the floor. But between him telling me that they didn't actually repair it and that it heals itself after you trim away the damaged part, and then him telling me that he wants to play in a preseason game to make sure he's ready, I don't know what was more stunning from him.
Yeah, and like I think he obviously can get back and play his normal style of football, but it's just you need to see it, right? Like, and there's going to be a progression for him whenever he gets back into training camp, and obviously if he plays preseason, there's a progression of loading that mm-hmm. knee again and seeing how that feels, and that's my biggest question, right? Is how does that knee recover and heal, and how's he moving on it? That's really it.
And to Homer's point, if we were power ranking the five questions of just how good is Jordan Morgan going to be at left tackle, is Aaron Banks going to be the player that they expected him to be when they paid him, and is he going to stay healthy enough to be productive? Is Sean Ryan going to make a major step at center with 9 games of starts under his belt there now? And who's going to be their right guard? Is it going to be Belton? Is it going to be the Jagger bomb? And then the Tom question. Like, I would say Zach Tom is the fifth of the five questions, but there is a question at each of those spots.
Yes, but yes. Only seriously if you, either one of you, is going to tell me you're worried that he may never be able to come back and be as good
as he has been.
I don't think either of you are saying that.
I'm worried that the last 2 years, we know how good of a player he is. It is definitely the fifth of the five questions if you're putting them in most concerning to least concerning order. But
I'll accept that.
I mean, he never regained his strength during the 24 season from the torn pec. So he's basically the one-armed man from The Fugitive out there. And then last year, don't forget, the patellar tendon was just the capper. Like, he had the adductor or the sports hernia, whatever you want to call that. He had that. Then he had an ankle. Then he had something else. Like, I love Zach Tom, not as much as Brian and Tausch do because they play the position, but I love a healthy Zach Tom. I just haven't seen him in a long time.
Right. Now, if either of you said you're worried about his health, then I put that at number one. I mean, I understand there's a recovery, but if either of you said, I'm concerned of the possible seriousness, that becomes number one. Because
he's just been unlucky.
Okay, all right. I'm glad to hear that. Well, you think the same, Brian? Okay, all right.
Yeah, he's not the number one concern because I think he's going to recover. It's just how long it takes him to get into his groove, right? And that's really what it comes down to for me.
Then he's a Micah Parsons to some degree.
I think he's going to start day one, don't you, Jason? Isn't that the...
That is certainly... I mean, he says he wants to be ready for the first day of training camp. And I love Zach because, you know, he doesn't like to talk to the media very much. He does it begrudgingly. But he and I have a good rapport where he has never turned me down, which I can't even say about you, Bulaga. And... Yep.
How many times did Bulaga turn you down? I'd like to know
Only once or twice, I'm sure.
Brian, what's the accurate number? Because I know you'll know it exactly.
I mean, it probably was only once or twice. I mean, it just it depends on what day,
Then to bring it up making a bigger deal than it really was. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. But he also, in fairness to Brian, he became a great elder statesman in the locker room. When he was young and all those veteran guys were around him, only Corey Linsley was more nervous about saying anything around these other clowns that were going to get after him.
Yeah,
but
this
my
is
point
good
is,
stuff.
Is that with Zach, when he said he was going to be, he wants to be ready for the first day of camp, I didn't even follow up. I gave him a look, and he laughed, and so I think he will be on a progression. But again, what I love about, one of the many things I love about Zach Tom, and this is the kind of stuff we should clip for social media. What I love about him is he is in the Tausch Bulaga lineage. Like, he always wants to practice. He is conscientious to beat the band, and he's an awesome teammate. And so they need him to be out there, A, because he's a really good player, but I think he also sets the tone, and him being out there gives everyone else confidence. And there are some guys on that line, especially not knowing who's going to be for certain the right guard, that are going to need him to give them that confidence. So he is really, really important, and he will be highly ranked in my most important Packers list when it comes out starting next week.
All right, we've run out of time. Other than the question for both of you, at the start of the game, who do you want, Caleb Williams or Jordan Love? And in a close game with 5 minutes left, who do you want, Jordan Love or Caleb Williams? That's for the future. I don't want to agree
want Aaron
with
Rodgers.
You, Jason. Yeah, I don't want to agree with you and said you like this rivalry, because I don't. I'd like crushing all the teams in the division. But I do believe the discussion and battle of Jordan Love and Caleb Williams will go for at least 5 years in terms of
You don't
assessing.
Say. That's interesting.
But I still want to.
All right, guys.
I still hope the Packers crush them by 50.
I know
game.
You do, but it's more interesting this way. All right, guys, take care. Be good.
All right, thanks, Jason Wilde, All Packers All the Time. The Brian Bulaga, Jason Wilde segment. It's the best segment on the Homer Hour all week, and he is, because he's 3-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year. He is in the Yingling Jason Wilde Hotline.